CTV.
All right, I did not listen yet to the second part of Clyde's video because I have some loose ends to tie up here. I mean, the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room. What is the elephant in the room? I'm famous for that. The elephant in the room is that God was temporarily finished with Israel when the temple veil was rent. That's when it happened. We don't need to poke around anywhere else. Definitely not Acts 28:28. And I have to reiterate to you that the whole reason for the Acts 28:28 position is to solve an apparent problem that early in Paul's ministry, there's some Israelite stuff going on, right? Paul's doing a little baptizing, just barely, but there's some miracles happening. Some of the powers of the kingdom are kind of being pulled in. It's just to kickstart the thing, to kickstart. At the beginning, Paul needed the acceptance of Peter. Peter gave Paul the right hand of fellowship, and so that helped Paul. So there were things in the early part of Paul's ministry that served to just light a little spark under it. But later, as the thing goes, as Paul's ministry goes from glory to glory, there's a graduation from flesh, from signs, from manifestations, from the gifts of the Spirit that you read about in 1 Corinthians 12. There's a switch of when maturity may be coming. These things that belong to an installment, that is an in part thing, will go away. Languages, healing, prophecy, things like that, they would go away when maturity comes. And so maturity comes individually to people, but maturity also comes as Paul's message gets dispensed and more glories come forward. Like Paul says, from glory to glory. This is Martin Sender from my car. Welcome to MZTV. So all of Paul's letters are for us. And the reason Clyde Pilkington doesn't believe in the snatching away is because the snatching away is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And according to Clyde, who really clings to this Acts 28:28 thing, 1 Thessalonians is a Jewish letter. Romans is a Jewish letter. Galatians is a Jewish letter. What? No, none of this is true. But Clyde doesn't believe in the snatching away because, oh, that letter's not for us. Well, what about Romans? Is Romans for us? I don't understand this. So the Acts 28:28 position tries to solve this weird, some Israelite things early in Paul's ministry. Well, they don't like that. The Acts 28:28 people, I think Charles Welch is their president back in the day. They don't like that, so they just get rid of all those letters. I know what we'll do. We'll just cut them out. Well, listen, we're supposed to correctly cut the word of truth. But that's the division between Paul's gospel and Peter's gospel. That's where the division is made. The gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. We're sure as hell not supposed to cut Paul from Paul. Every time Paul's name is used, that certifies that it's his evangel. Paul's name is used. So it's all to the body of Christ. Paul's ministry began really in Acts 9 when he's called. But as an astute viewer of yesterday's video pointed out, the Holy Spirit separated Barnabas and Saul in Acts 13. Right at the beginning there for the work that they were to do. So that was the official beginning, if you ask me, of Paul's ministry to the nations, which was decades before Acts 28:28. And to say that Paul's work, that Paul's ministry to the nations doesn't start until Acts 28:28 when he's an old man in prison is just ludicrous. Ludicrous. So Paul had been going to the Jews, to the nations, early on in Acts 13. Well, in Acts 13, he's talking to Sergius Paulus, the proconsul of that island. What is it? Cyprus? And this is a man of the nations, the first man of the nations to come into the body of Christ. And in that chapter, Acts 13, Paul talks about justification for the first time. It's a huge chapter, chapter 13. That's where all this stuff starts. And at that time, Paul hadn't even written a letter yet. So every single letter Paul's writes is to the body of Christ. We don't care about that Israel stuff. It was all temporary. It was all part of the immature body of Christ. It's not a different body. It's not Israel, for God's sake. So 1 Thessalonians applies to us. And why would you want to jump onto a ridiculous teaching like Acts 28 teaching? Do you want to get rid of the snatching away? I have a theory. I developed this since my video yesterday, and here it is. Now, I think that some of this stuff, or all of it, is a result of a knee-jerk reaction to the Baptist church. I mean, Clyde's not the only one that does this. I mean, this is just a guess. I'm not saying this is what he's doing, but I wonder. Well, let's take the snatching away. I think Clyde's embarrassed of it because, as Christians call it, the rapture. And people have been talking for years about it. Like Clyde says in the video, I heard for years these different dates. And everybody's been saying it, different dates, and it never happens. So I think he got so sick of that, so sick of the disappointment, that it seemed cartoonish to him. Well, Christians ruined it for everybody. Not me. They didn't ruin it for me. I mean, Christians talk about the rapture. The rapture, they're not going to be involved in this thing. But I think because Christians have sullied it and attached to it this baggage, this soulish, emotional stuff, and they're not even believers, they're not even in the body of Christ, that I think Clyde threw out the baby with the bathwater. He says, I'm just going to turn away from all that Christian stuff. Well, I'm all for throwing away Christian stuff, but the Christians, they believe certain things correctly, but they just don't apply it. They don't believe it. No, let me change that. They don't believe it correctly. They acknowledge it. Like, they acknowledge the snatching away. They acknowledge it. They're just not going to be a part of it. They don't know the details of it. So, I think Clyde just wants to get rid of all that religious baggage, so he just, throwing that away. And I think the date setters have ruined a lot of people. But it's illogical to say that because people have set dates for the second coming of Christ in the past, and none of them have come true, therefore, Christ isn't going to come for a long time. That's illogical. It doesn't follow, does it? And this is where the scoffers come from. I want to get into the scoffers. I might as well do it now. 2 Peter talks about those. It says, in the last days, we're in the last days. Listen to this. Listen to what Peter said is going to happen in the last days. In the last days, scoffers will be coming with scoffing. Well, that's generally what scoffers come with. Going according to their own desires and saying, where is the promise of his presence? And I think this afflicts a lot of people. And I think it afflicts our friend, possibly, because I think that by growing up in the Baptist church and hearing all these lunatics in the Baptist church talking emotionally and soulishly about the rapture and looking forward to it thinking that they're in it, even though they're a bunch of legalists and they don't believe one element of Paul's gospel, I think Clyde just got sick of it. Sick of it. As I said, he began to consider it cartoonish. I'm just guessing. I shouldn't even psychoanalyze him. This is not right of me. It's not right of me, but I'm just trying to figure out what the deal is. So it seems wiser to Clyde to just say it's in the future, because that's the opposite of what Christianity says. Christianity is always saying these are the end days, these are the end days, these are the end days. But the thing is, we're saying the same thing. These are the end days. We have that in common with Christianity. Well, it was mainly Christians who found the star thing on September 23rd, 2017, the Revelation 12, Virgo with the moon at her feet, the sun at her back, 12 stars on her head. Christians can find this stuff. I mean, Herod found out that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but did he apply it? Did he know? Did he know it in his heart? Did he understand it? No, he didn't understand it. So all the Christians thought that that sign of September 23rd, 2017, that was going to be the rapture. See, it was possible, but the more the Christians said it's going to be the rapture, I thought, no, it's not going to be the rapture, because for one thing, the signs belong to Israel. So that sign had something to do with Israel. It has something to do with signifying the nearness of the tribulation, which will shock the world and finally discipline Israel, refine them, purify them, bring them into the kingdom. Unless they don't endure to the end, then they won't be in the kingdom. That's the if-then proposition of the circumcision gospel. Don't go there. You don't want to go there. We're saved in the body of Christ, whether we're watching or drowsing, Paul says. That's great news for us. So these scoffers, the reason they're scoffing is, where's the promise of his presence? And here's the sickness right here. For since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. All is continuing. In other words, nothing's happened. Nothing's happened. And I think this is what Clyde says to himself. All those times I heard these stupid prophecies, stupid dates. He even mentioned that he actually went to a meeting where one of those date setters was there. Jack Van Impe. I think that's the guy. Jack Van Impe. Always setting dates. And Clyde just said, poo-poo that. Or if you're an elephant. So, nope, no, there's no statue in the way. And so he would gravitate toward a position, the Acts 28:28 position, that says, well, 1 Thessalonians isn't about the body of Christ anyway. But it is. But it is. So, and then Peter goes on and says, well, these scoffers, what they don't realize is there was a heaven and earth of old, and he's referring to the disruption of the world, the flood of Noah, saying there's some big stuff that's happened before you clowns were around. In fact, somebody who called me who was worried about Clyde's teaching, who was really swayed by it, tempted to be swayed by it, she said to me, you know, I've been looking for this since 71. 1971. And I haven't seen it yet. So she was kind of saying Clyde's right. So see, I think she picked up also on this fact that Clyde was disgusted with all the prophecies that haven't come true. Therefore, we're going to put it way in the future. We're going to go to the opposite extreme. That's the opposite extreme. And lucky for him, there's a crazy position, the Otis Sellers position, which says that there's going to be a 300 to 400 year Israel kingdom before the actual 1,000-year kingdom. I don't know, folks. But anyway, this friend of mine says, I've been waiting since 1971. I had to bring her back. And I said, I kind of mocked her a little bit, but she's a good person. She forgave me for that. I said, oh, 1971. Oh, gee, nothing's happened since 1971. Oh, my God. God must have forgotten about the snatching away. And here's these guys Peter's prophesying of, which I think includes Clyde. Peter says, in the last days, scoffers will be coming with their scoffing. And according to them, they haven't seen anything at all. And Peter says, well, there was a disruption. So Peter's saying, well, your argument is irrelevant because back in the day, there was a disruption of the world and there was the flood of Noah. God does shit. So it's going to happen. But here's my friend, 1971. I haven't seen anything since 71. I said, well, 1,000 years is a day to God. I said, so from 71 to now, it's like 2.5 minutes to God. You know, So it's just a very short period of time. God's on it. He's not forgotten. So 1971 is not... 1971 till now is not a long time. Why didn't I bring my water out here? Oh, my secret angel did it again. I look out today. I'm sitting on the sofa with Charles sending some files to Seth to typeset. And I just happen to look out the window and there's another bag. Another bag from Whole Foods. Guess what? Two more bins. Two more containers of chicken noodle soup. What a guy. Plus two bottles of medicine. One, some kind of syrup. I need to take another dose of that. And something else. Echinacea, yeah. And Marion Hoover was involved in that also. I think Marion, another fellow, saint fellow, believer. Shout out to you, Marion, up in Virginia. I think she sent a hotline. She has the hotline to Manfred and said, give Zender Echinacea and this syrup. Tell him to take it. So there's that. Our friend Jason, listen to this. I love this. He made a great point in the comment section of yesterday's video. Now, I'm going to talk now about this idea that every member of the body of Christ has to die. Why would every member of the body of Christ have to die? I don't understand, Clyde. Because of the Otis Sellers position that there's going to be an Israel kingdom before the millennial kingdom. Like, Israel's going to somehow work out their own kingdom. They're going to make it work. Just like the Christians think that they're going to finally epitomize the life of Christ, and the kingdom's going to come from within them because they're going to become very obedient, very good by their own efforts, and Christ doesn't need to return, really, because they're going to do it. So there's going to be an Israelite kingdom before Christ returns, 300-400 years. I don't know where Otis Sellers gets this. I don't know what you have to smoke to come up with this. I don't know what kind of cough syrup you have to abuse to come up with this. But that's why Clyde thinks every member of the body of Christ has to die. It's like cut and dried. Like, they're all going to die. The body of Christ is going to be so done. But we're not going to be snatched away. We're just going to all die. And then this freaky 300 to 500 year Israelite pre-kingdom comes, and then the real kingdom comes. And I guess we're not snatched away, according to this theory, until after the Israelite pre-kingdom. I don't know. And I don't want to know. Because it sounds crazy to me. And it comes from a guy who should not be trusted to interpret scripture, because the guy believes, speaking of Otis Sellers, the guy believes in eternal torment. Obviously, the guy can't interpret his way out of a bread wrapper. So, Jason said, well, look at Galatians 1:4. God's going to extricate us out of the present wicked eon. He's not going to exhume us out of it, but extricate us. Excuse me. That was so good. He's not going to exhume us out of the current wicked eon. Out of the current wicked eon. This, right now, the wicked eon, where we're living, we're going to be extricated, not exhumed. We're going to be taken alive out of here. That's the sense of extricate is extricate. And it goes along perfectly with Paul saying, those who remain to the coming of the Lord. How does Clyde not see that? Oh, well, because it's not our letter, according to that Acts 28 position. That's why. That's why. So I just want to go quickly to a couple passages in Romans 11. Romans 11:8. You know, Israel, and Romans is a fairly early letter, certainly not a prison letter. And by the way, nobody knows what Paul's prison letters were exactly. So if, according to the Acts 28 thing, you have to know that only Paul's prison letters are for us, because he made that epic pronouncement in Acts 28:28, which wasn't that epic. It's just a rehash. You have to know what letters Paul wrote when he was in prison, but we're not certain what letters Paul wrote when he was in prison. And apparently it's not important because the scripture doesn't bother to tell us. If it was important to know that the only letters for the body of Christ are the ones Paul wrote from prison, well, please, somebody tell us in the scripture what letters Paul wrote from prison. We don't know for sure. So it's all wet. It's damp. It's moist. And it ain't drying off anytime soon. Romans 11, verse 8. Speaking of Israel, the rest were calloused. Paul talks about the remnant. They're faithful, but the rest were calloused. Even as it is written, God gives them a spirit of stupor. When did God do that? Way back when. Eyes not to be observing, ears not to be hearing until this very day. So they were already like that. So when Paul repeats this in Acts 28:28, it's not true suddenly then at that late date. It's always been true. It was true for centuries. In Romans 11:11. Well, I don't have my glasses either, do I? I am saying, do they not trip that they should be falling? May it not be coming to that? But in their offense is salvation to the nations to provoke them to jealousy. How would Israel be jealous of the nations if they're all dead? If all the members of the body of Christ are dead, how would Israel look over there and see the nations and say, oh, I'm jealous of them. I'm jealous of those corpses, those morons. No, Israel is not provoked to jealousy until the body of Christ is snatched away, and then Israel is made aware that these people, all the time since Paul, had a special calling that's greater than theirs, with a greater destiny than theirs, greater destination, heaven instead of earth, greater power, greater glory, everything. Just the way God operates. I'm sorry that he gives the most to the worst. Okay. In Israel, the meek shall inherit the earth. In Paul's gospel, the assholes inherit heaven. There it is. That pisses Israel off, but it delights God, because it's tricky. Oh, look what I did. I did something you didn't expect, didn't I? Yeah, you sure did. We didn't expect that. No, we did not. Okay, so Israel is jealous. They're not jealous of the body of Christ now. They hate the body of Christ. Back in the day, they did. They don't even know what the body of Christ is now. They don't even know their own Messiah now. But when Israel starts to wake up at the beginning of the tribulation, and this whole thing's being staged now, and the snatching away occurs, and they know about it because they're spiritually attuned, they'll be jealous then, and then they're all going to go gung-ho through the tribulation, remain true. They're going to be real warriors then, the majority, including the 144,000 in the vast throng, which are faithful Jews. And finally, Romans 11:25. For I am not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations may be entering. Until the complement of the nations may be entering. Nothing's good is going to happen to Israel. Israel's not going to be called back until the body of Christ should be entering. It doesn't say dying, but entering. Let me read it again. It's so good. Romans 11:25. Callousness in part on Israel has come until the complement of the nations, that is, the filling of the nations, may be entering. And thus all Israel shall be saved. All Israel saved after the body of Christ enters, not dies, but enters. All right, now tomorrow I will have listened to the rest of Clyde's video, and I've heard rumors of things that are in there. I can't wait to dissect it and get into it. I'm happy for the raw material, I guess. I don't know. I didn't plan on doing this. I don't want to do this. I don't like to do this. But I only do this on important issues. And when somebody takes away your expectation of being extricated, not exhumed, extricated out of the present wicked end, then I don't like it. I don't like it because I'm a champion of all of Paul's letters, because they're all to us. And 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17 contains one of the most amazing, most glorious changes that will ever take place on the earth. In fact, it's the next big move of God. And it is the taking of the few members of the body of Christ that remain on the earth, changing them on their feet from mortals to immortals, and then mating them with the dead in Christ who have risen. And then together, we the living with the dead, rise to meet Christ, our Savior, in the air, and to be ever with Him.